ton, 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 ton. That's David Byrne flushing the toilet. I'm really nervous. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, I think we're recording.
I think this one's...
Let's just check this one.
Lovely.
Thank you very much for your time, David.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan, so it's very nice
to
meet you. Thank you. Are you okay holding...
Oh, okay.
The let's microphone.
Let's try that.
Okay, I'm here in a very swanky hotel in London with David Byrne. Is this your actual room?
No, it's not.
It's very... it's very sparse.
It's very sparse. I could say, oh, it's my room. I don't like... I like it better when they take the bed out.
You know, those rock stars, you're like Fleetwood Mac in the 70s. Instead of having a pink piano or whatever, you've made them take all of the furniture out. Ride, Rise, Roar. Is that... Have I got that the right way round?
I think so, yeah.
I saw it the other day. I came and saw you in Brighton. I guess it was 2009.
Oh, at the Pavilion.
At the Pavilion. And I brought my wife. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, she wasn't really sure who you were. And I said, uh-huh. Come, it'll be good. And she was blown away by it. And she said to me, tell him the choreography is amazing.
Well, that's nice to hear.
And it's an integral part of the show. You
could have gone to see Chemical Brothers that night, I think.
We could have gone, yeah. We didn't fancy the Chemical Brothers. It was an amazing show. But, the first thing that struck us was the fact everyone's in white. Why did you go for that?
It was purely practical. I knew there'd be... Well, when I realized there'd be dancing and all this movement on stage, I thought... Well, the best way to have that kind of pop forward visually is to have everybody in light colors. And I can bet that everybody's probably got some white clothes. And if they don't, I'll get them. I'll fork up and get them some white outfits.
You're right, it looks incredibly striking. It's not the sort of thing you see. Pop or rock, which do you prefer?
Oh, I don't care.
Are you
sure?
Care.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't care. So, yeah, it made... you can throw everything in the same wash. everybody can look as if they're part of a team, but they're not wearing identical outfits. But they're all... But most of all, visually, it kind of pops them out from all the other gear that's on stage. Mm-hmm.
Now, you had three choreographers working on the tour and for the film, is that right?
Yeah, because at first I thought... I didn't want to... frighten the choreographers off by saying I want you to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
So just try a couple of songs each and see how you like it. See how you like doing this.
How did you choose the choreographers, first of all?
I'd seen their work.
Yeah.
And I knew that they'd all worked with non-dancers and dancers as well. And they'd all incorporated, I guess, what would you call it, pedestrian or vernacular movement into some of their work, so that I thought, oh, that's great. They can work with not only dancers, but they can work with the rest of us too. Mm. They can tie it all together and have us all do stuff.
How did the band cope? Because there's kind of a couple of bits in the film where you see the band trying out a few dance moves, and they're obviously not dancers. They do a brilliant job, but you can see them going, he wants us to do this? How are we going to... Did they kind of laugh when you suggested it to them, or how did they take it?
I tried to break it to them gently that they'd be expected to do some, quote, movement.
Yeah.
So I didn't use the word dance. And everybody moves from one place to another, so I thought, okay. But, yeah, at some point there was not an outright rebellion, but a little bit of, we didn't know that we were going to have to do this.
Mm.
But I think in the end everybody enjoyed having more to do.
Yeah.
And having more involvement. Rather than less.
Yeah.
Having more of a presence.
How did you cope with... playing the guitar and dancing seems hard enough, but singing as well. Was there any cheating, David? Was there any auto-tune going on? were you miming at any point, doing a Justin Bieber?
No, there's no cheating, but I hope, cleverly worked out so that just before I sing, I usually have a few beats to catch my breath, which I hope you don't notice that I'm actually going.
And it just looks like such hard work.
Well,
Why put
more for the more
that?
More for the dancers than for me?
Yeah,
I benefit. They're putting out all the energy, but it kind of they make it look like the rest of us are too.
They make you look good.
Yeah,
hang on, that sounds rude. I don't mean
that's
that at all.
That's
now, my favorite when
thing.
I saw the concert, it was this was my I can't remember which song it was. Excuse me, but my favorite dance was the one where you're on the office chairs. And I was watching this at home on DVD at the weekend, and my little boy, who's one, who's only just started to walk, as soon as that came on, for some reason, he stood up and was just dancing away. So it's hitting a chord somewhere.
Yeah, amongst the one-year-olds. There is.
Get them young. They 15 years' time. He's going to be your key audience.
I'll be dead when he's buying CDs.
Get out of here. CDs won't be around, of course. They'll be
That's
downloading
right, yeah,
it straight to our brains.
That's right.
Was that fun to do? That looked like a fun kind of piece to do with the chairs and quite sedate.
It's quite sedate, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The dancers themselves came up with a lot of that one, and then one of the choreographers kind of shaped it a bit.
Mm. It could be suggested that you are obsessed with concert movies. You've done a couple.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about turning a concert experience into a movie that appeals to you so much?
Well, this particular one, when the director, Hillman Curtis, started shooting stuff, it wasn't to make a concert movie. It was to shoot kind of just some portrait stuff, a little web, 10-minute web film, that sort of thing. But pretty soon I realized he was getting a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff of what goes into making a concert. And so I thought, oh, we've got some stuff that doesn't show up in every concert film. Mm. And this one, you get to see a little bit of the decision process and the rehearsal process and the audition process and all the stuff that goes into the whole thing. And I thought, okay, that might make it a little bit different than the other ones I've done. So,
and it's going to be screened at cinemas.
Yes, which is very flattering.
Yeah, I saw Stop Making Sense this is probably about 6-7 years ago at Brixton. Mm-hmm. And I think you presented it. You kind of bundled in and went, hello, I'm the singer in the band. I hope you like my film, which was very charming and very sweet. And it is, there's something about seeing a concert. I've only seen this one on DVD, but I'm guessing the sound is mixed perfectly. So it recreates, if not improves upon, the live kind of sound.
Depending on where you saw it.
Yes. Yeah. It was like, I like seeing gigs out of London because the artists tend to play slightly smaller venues, so it's
that's true.
A little bit more intimate, so a little trip to Brighton.
And sometimes the audience is a little bit looser outside of London.
Yeah, I'd noticed that. And also, we sat two away from Fatboy Slim, so we were well excited, which was kind of good. One thing that struck me in the movie is your home studio in New York.
Was it a mess?
Yeah, it was a terrible mess.
I've cleaned it up since then.
How can you work under those? Are you one of those people, though, that's a little bit sort of OCD and you know where everything is?
Yeah, kind of, you know, that. Oh, I know I left that up here somewhere. It's on this, in this desk somewhere. And, I've since tidied it up. But that was kind of, the working environment.
I don't know if you live alone or if you have a partner or what, but my wife is constant. We had a row this weekend. She's constant. I leave something there and I know it's there. But then she'll move it and tidy it up, and she forgets where it is. So it's kind of
just
leave it where I've left it. It's there for a reason, for goodness sakes. And do you? I mean, did you the album you did with Brian Eno, that which this kind of tour was loosely based around, had elements from? Did you do all of the vocals in that home studio, or is that just where you do your demos and then you go off and?
I ended up doing quite a lot of the vocals, probably at least half of them in that home studio, which is kind of surprising. There's no sound. I mean, I have a good microphone, but there's no sound stuff. There's traffic noises that come in the windows, which you really don't hear unless it's kind of between lines of lyrics and you kind of turn the volume way up and you have the vocal soloed. But then other than that, it seems to work.
You know that there'll be some people on a forum somewhere on the internet that have done that, that have gone, but if you listen carefully to track 3, 27 seconds in, you can hear a police siren. That must mean something. Do you get those kind of fans that are a bit obsessive and look for meaning where perhaps there isn't any?
Oh, yes, but not too many. Not too many. I'm kind of surprised that I don't get more.
I would have thought you would have done, being that kind of artsy
kind
of side of things. Mm-hmm. I've got to ask you, this is the question you must get asked all the time, and I apologize for doing it. I'm going to do it. when are you going to bring out the motion picture soundtrack from True Stories? The original with the cast doing the songs.
Oh, geez. Funny you should ask. We've been trying to negotiate that with Warner Brothers.
Really?
And we've been negotiating for over a year now.
No.
And it's...
It will be the greatest soundtrack album of all time.
I'm looking forward to it because I think we can put in the cast versions and the band versions and the scoring stuff and all the various bits and deleted scenes and all that sort of thing. And
there are deleted... I've got to say, it's one of my top five films
of
all time. I think it's just a beautiful kind of, you know, social commentary comedy. I don't know if you've ever seen the Monkees film, Head.
I've never seen it. I know it's out now.
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant. I kind of see it as an 80s version of Head. You know, it's that same kind of sensibility. I think you'd like Head. You should
check it out.
You should check it out. Are there lots of deleted scenes?
I think there's four. I think I let last count.
Is there any chance of you ever directing and writing another movie?
Not like that, but I hope so.
Yeah.
I think in a certain kind of film, it's cheaper to make films and edit them on your computer than it used to be. It used to require loads and loads of gear.
Mm. I just think it's such a charming kind of romp through this small town. It's wonderful. What is next? You've got this concert movie is coming out and it's going to be doing the rounds, and I'm assuming we'll get a lavish DVD release at some point in the near future.
I hope so.
Are you going to take a lengthy break? Does David Byrne take breaks, or is it constantly thinking of the next thing?
I take breaks, short ones.
What do you do in your breaks?
I had some art things that I was showing in Iceland during the summer, and since it was Iceland, I thought, I've been before, but I thought, such an amazing place. Mm. I'll take like four or five days off just to go around. So it was that. Yeah, occasionally, a few days off here or there.
And then on with the next thing. Have you got more albums planned? Have you got an idea? Or
I'm working on stuff, but most of it is in progress. There's one that should be done. Will Oldham and I did some songs for a film that an Italian director, Paolo Sorrentino, directed called This Must Be the Place.
Mm.
So there's a scene where I perform that Talking Heads song in it, but the songs that we wrote will be sung by a young actor, so you won't hear or see us, but we've provided the material for him.
Okay, final question, I'll let you go. You don't mind your history. I've kind of met some performers who are like, Jesus, I will tell this story, although it's irrelevant. Not quite irrelevant. I had a wee next to Davy Jones of the Monkees. I'm a huge Monkees fan. And he was talking to someone going, Jesus Christ, I've got to sing Daydream Believer again. And that broke my heart, you know. It broke my heart because that's kind of what made him. Do you ever think...
It's a great song.
It's a brilliant, it's the perfect pop song. Do you ever think, oh my God, I've got to sing that again, really? And she was. I've got to go out and perform that. Do you ever feel that at all?
For the most part, no. If I've made a set list...
Mm.
It's because I feel like singing those songs.
Right.
And often you may think earlier in the day, you may think, oh, how many times have I sung that song? But if the song works, if it's a good band, then it kind of kicks in.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you know, first few chords, it kicks in and you go, oh, this is fun. Mm. There's a reason, you know, that people like this song.
Definitely. David Byrne, listen, I'm a huge fan. It's an honor to meet you. Thank you very much for your time and best of luck with the movie.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That's lovely. Let's...